Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message is our second reading from Acts chapter 2. There's two sections I'd like to highlight as we start. First of all, in verse 17, where Peter begins his quote of the prophet Joel, and he foretells this, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." And then he concludes in verses 20 and 21. "Before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is our text. Today, as we have been saying, we begin a new season in the church year. It has been 50 days since Easter. We have been celebrating all that time that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And what a reason to celebrate. Things really were finished. Jesus' death on the cross paid the bill in full for every sin of every man, woman, and child of every age and of every language and nation. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead proved it. The righteous wrath of God the Father against all of our sin was satisfied by Jesus' death. His blood poured out and covered over every sin of every man, woman, and child of every age and of every language and nation. Last week, we remembered how Jesus' ascension into heaven as the victor over sin, death, and the devil opened heaven up to every man, woman, and child of every age and of every language and nation as well. God's salvation work was finished. And yet, Jesus was not yet entirely finished. Because unless men, women, and children around the world, whenever and wherever they were living, heard about all of that, about Jesus, heard about his death and resurrection, they could not be brought to believe in it. And no one would be saved. That's where today, the day of Pentecost, comes in. It's been called the birthday of the Christian church because this is the day, the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection and every day since, that the wind, that the breath of God, that the Holy Spirit pours out and blows mightily upon the church. Why? To empower and move us as Christ's church to be his instruments for the spreading of that message, for the telling of that finished and saving work of Jesus to every man, woman, and child of every age and of every language and nation. So let's explore that. Let's explore some of the significant nuances about that first Pentecost and how it directly impacts you and your life, and my life, right now, today. Verse 2 in Acts chapter 2 says, that suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where the 11 apostles, plus Matthias, who had just been selected as the 12th apostle to replace Judas, where they were sitting. But, you know, this wasn't the first time, was it, that a mighty wind had blown from God for the benefit of his people. Remember, it was 1,500 years earlier that Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. This was God's miraculous breath, you could say, completing Israel's salvation from their horrific slavery under Pharaoh. God brought them through the divided waters that were certainly ominous and awe-inspiring to give them a new life of freedom. It was a birthday of sorts as well. The beginning of God's chosen people for the purpose of furthering God's plan in order to advance the bloodline that would lead to Jesus, the promised Messiah. Well, it's that very same wind that blew those waters back that now fills the room where God's chosen apostles have been gathered together. You see, in both the Hebrew language of the Old Testament and the Greek language of the New Testament, the word that means wind, ruach in Hebrew, or pneuma in Greek, can also be translated as breath or spirit. So this is God's own wordplay, where the spirit, ruach, moving over the deep as the third person in the triune God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, serves as the active divine source of power. The one blowing the Red Sea back and breathing not only upon his disciples on Pentecost, but also within them as his instruments. When verse 4 tells us, they were all filled with the Holy Pneuma, Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Pneuma gave them the breath to declare. We can't declare Jesus' good news without God's breath working in us. What is it that he gives them to declare? Verse 11 says that the men of every nation under heaven said, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And so there is no doubt they were hearing the works of Jesus on the cross, at the empty tomb, and in his ascension that day. This wind, this breath, this spirit from God, who is the very giver of life, now breathed in and through his human instruments with the very breath of life. And I'm not talking about earthly human life, but the spirit created and the spirit sustained life that only God's spirit can give to us sin-filled and spiritually dead human beings. Now, we shorten all of that up, and we call it faith. The assurance that when Jesus died and rose from death and ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, that he did it all for me. For you. So that I might have a new and holy life that is cleansed of the guilt of my sin. The life that God promises with him beyond this earth. Into eternity. Do you get the connection now that the Spirit makes for all of us here at Pentecost? When he comes blowing down upon those apostles, he was coming with the same powerful breath of God to work for his chosen people on Pentecost, just as he did earlier at the Red Sea. So actually, he is completing that saving work that he started centuries earlier. Because now Jesus has won and finished God's saving work for the souls of all time. Here we see the Spirit delivering the work of salvation and forgiveness directly into the hearts and minds of men, women, and children of all nations around the world. Yes, he brings us through cleansing and saving waters too. Right there, through the waters of our own baptism, that now saves us, as 1 Peter 3:21 says, from our slavery to sin and the devil, that brings us through the resurrection of Christ, 1 Peter says, into a new life of freedom. That new life, my friends, is yours today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Now, how can I have the confidence to tell you that great news today? Because of the Spirit's apocalyptic work there on the day of Pentecost. Ooh, I threw out a big fancy word. The word apocalypse has taken on all kinds of meanings over the years. And frankly, Hollywood's influence has muddled things up with a plethora of crazy images. But at its root, the word apocalypse simply means to reveal, to uncover something that has previously been unknown, that is a mystery that no one has experienced. Apocalyptic work points us specifically to those unknown things connected to the future, to the last days or the end times. And amid all of the excitement of wind, fire, and the apostles' many languages, Peter narrows the focus of that gathered crowd around them on Pentecost to see that these things are God's apocalyptic sign that what he has foretold through his prophet Joel many years before is now today on Pentecost beginning. You see, Pentecost is the start of what God calls the last days. Christ had come as promised. He paid for the sins or for sins on the cross. He conquered death in his resurrection. And Satan was cast out of heaven at Jesus' ascension 10 days before this, when Jesus took up his throne. And with all of that, at the sound of a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit now ushers in the end times. Joel tells us that God declares, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." It's happened. This is the time, folks, that you and I are living in right now. We are living in the last days between Jesus' ascension and his return. As Peter tells us, this is the time to repent of sin, because we cannot, frankly, face Jesus' coming judgment if we live in unbelief, if we have rejected the Spirit's free gift of life. For all of us, then, Peter is calling us to take a sober look at ourselves. At ourselves. Not the other person around you. Not the other person that you know needs to hear this message. He is calling us to stop pointing our finger of blame at everyone else and ask, who have I hurt with my selfish words and actions? What is my part in the conflicts around me, in the troubles that I face? Because you see, the Spirit came not only as a wind, but also in tongues of fire, didn't he? Now, most of us understand that fire is both destructive and regenerating in nature. It can burn up entire forests of old dead wood, and in doing so, it prepares the soil for an entirely new and vibrant forest of young and well-nourished saplings. Fire also protects and comforts people from the dangers of bitter cold temperatures in the winter, sustaining and giving life. We all know that. But there is another use that may be less familiar, the use of fire for purification. Malachi 3, verse 3 speaks of Christ coming on the last day and says this: He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. When someone wants to refine and remove impurities from metal, what needs to happen? The metal has to be melted with intense heat. And it's only by that fire that the metal is separated from the impurities to be discarded, so that when the process is done, you have pure silver or gold. We Christians, we see the Holy Spirit working His purifying process throughout our lives as God uses the intense heat of the sorrows and the struggles that we face in life to drive sin away from us, to break our personal idols. As Peter says, the day of Pentecost points us forward in an apocalyptic fashion to the last day. Verse 17. When the Spirit's sanctifying work will be brought to its fulfillment. It's then that we, all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus alone, will emerge on the other side in heaven, clean and pure, to live before Him forever. For now, though, we in Christ's holy and apostolic church must embrace the fires of this life. The Spirit's purifying work that is in us and around us, in humility, in honesty, in repentance, within this, His assembled church. For when we do, folks, we are blessed beyond measure, with the assurance, with the confidence, with the certainty that we will live with Jesus in holiness and righteousness forever. Why is this so important? Well, remember the mess that mankind made at the Tower of Babel in our Old Testament reading today? The mess that we still make today in our pride, and how God was forced to deal with that sinful rebellion of man? He had no choice. He had to forcefully spread the people around the globe as He had told them to do earlier, and they refused to do. And He did it by confusing the languages to humble all of the prideful souls like us. And that pride has wreaked separation, rivalries, and havoc to this very day. But at Pentecost, those tongues that were confused at Babel, they were all brought back together. They were set aright by the inspiring breath and the cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit. Even as those apostles spoke in the various languages of the nations that they had not known before, the Spirit brought them all together in His godly power into one unified and saving language. The language of Jesus' cross. The absolute truth of eternal salvation for anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus in faith. This unity of faith, this glory of God's grace, this joy in knowing and serving Jesus, this reality within the one holy Christian church, this is a picture of eternity in heaven, in the new heaven and the new earth. When Jesus comes on the day of the Lord. This is the apocalyptic nature of Pentecost. The Spirit's assurance for every man, woman, and child of every race and of every language and nation. Doesn't matter what language you hear it in, it's still the same language. That everyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds, will pour out His Spirit upon you, and keep you in the Lord Jesus, today and forever. Amen.